Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through the Acts of the Apostles. It's such a delight and so inspiring to see the work of the Lord in the apostles, how they'd overcome so many things in their lives from that Holy Thursday night when they scattered and Peter denied even knowing Jesus. And here they are now standing with great boldness in the same temple before some of the same leaders, having threats come against them. And these are transformed men and women, the whole community. These are transformed people. Something very different has happened to them. And it's clear that the reality is that everything Jesus said that they would both receive and do is happening. And what would happen to them as a result is also happening. So Jesus told the apostles before they began this whole adventure that they would need the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, this is it. The center of Christianity, you could say, is the Holy Spirit in terms of the church living on earth. At the core, we're not just an organization, as Pope Francis says, we're not an NGO, we're not a social service organization, we're not a political organization, we're not a rescue operation, you know, in terms of like, we're not a hospital, we're meant to be a field hospital, you know, a spiritual field hospital, first of all. The core of what it means to be a Christian is being revealed right here in these texts. It's to come to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ about his life, passion, death, resurrection, his clear teaching, his establishing of the kingdom, and the offer of salvation that's being given. And salvation meaning receiving the forgiveness of sins, and everybody's got them. Everybody's enslaved to him, and everybody's is experiencing now, but will ultimately and eternally experience the consequences of sin in our lives, apart from Jesus, if we don't receive the offer of salvation, which is Jesus cleansing us of all sin, and then giving us a share in his own life through the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism, which is where we are, as Jesus said, born again. We're born again by water and the Spirit. This is the means Jesus himself established. And what human beings need, as I've said so many times in the program and will for as long as I'm on the program, what we need, friends, is new life, a life that's stronger than death. And no human being can create it. It's not possible to manufacture it. Doesn't matter how much AI develops over the next 50 years. It can't happen. Nothing on this earth can make us children of God. Nothing on this earth can make us born again. Nothing on this earth can make us members of God's family, to be able to live with God for all eternity, sharing in the glory that belongs to God. Nothing. Everything else on this earth will fade away. Even the, all that, even the tech world and everything that seems so powerful and amazing. Friends, no matter what we create, it's tainted. It's a mixed bag because human beings are a mixed bag. And ultimately, with certainty, we know there's not a thing that can be created by the human race that can create divine life and give us the promise of eternal life with God. There remains and will only remain two ultimate destinies for every human being. First of all, we're all going to die. Now, we might develop technology and machinery and whatever else, and our medical health capacities get better and bigger. People may live longer. They're still going to die. And there's only two ultimate destinies, life with God or life apart from God, heaven or hell. Those are the stakes. That's the reality. There's a lot on the earth that wants to distract us night and day and keep the noise going so that we never think about it. Think about the poem by W.H. Auden called Faces, which I've shared a few times too over the years, which kind of tells the story, you know, leave it to the poets, It's called Faces. Faces at the bar cling to their average day. The lights must never go out and the music must always play. Lest we know where we are, lost in a haunted wood. Children afraid of the dark, who've never been happy or good. Keep the noise going. Keep the lights on. Make a perpetual party. Create a metaverse. Escape so you can feel differently. You know, enter unreality. You know, just don't look at reality for what it actually is. Numb yourself. You know, put a weed shop on every block. You know, make it easy to take Oxycontin or cocaine or do whatever, or drink alcohol, or, you know, continue to enhancing pornography at every possible nook and cranny and place. It's all about the kingdom of darkness, serving up distractions, something that'll numb us, something that will just prevent us from having to feel reality of the alienation of being a fallen creature, to keep us distracted enough and busy enough and keep the lights going and numb our mind and spirits and spirit so that we don't have to think about death and the consequences of our decisions in life and where we're going. It's only the church that has the answer, because the church is the reality that's born of God, because God himself is the answer. And the human race needs an answer, and that answer is salvation, not distraction, not escapism, salvation. Jesus has come. Jesus came for the sake of our salvation. And salvation means not me just cleaning up my life. Salvation means literally me repenting of sins and being born again by water and the Spirit. And this is what the apostles are proclaiming. This is what they're facing. And now they're up against it. Yesterday we ended the program. Peter and the apostles were forbidden to even speak of Jesus by the council and rulers of Israel. And they go back and they end up celebrating together with brothers and sisters, having been rejected by the leaders. They're not too worried, not too anxious. In fact, they're just begging God for more boldness, more fire, more signs and wonders, more spiritual gifts, more fear of God in the land. And they're so grateful to be rejected for knowing Jesus and for proclaiming him. I mean, it's easy to just skim over these readings like a stone across a body of water, right? Just skipping across the surface and not penetrating. But these brothers and sisters, that's who we are supposed to be. That same spirit, that same passion, that same courage, that same message, right? So the readings go on in chapter 4 and talk about how the believers shared their possessions together and how community was being formed around Christ, his teaching, and koinonia, community in Christ, was forming, the family of God. And then the beginning of chapter 5, this alarming, right in the middle of these amazing stories, you have two people who are in the community, Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and his wife, told a lie about what they did with their money. You know, people gave money, right, for the goods of those who didn't have. They didn't have to give everything. Some did. But apparently Ananias and Sapphira lied about to Peter about what they did and to keep more for themselves. And then Peter, of course, the Holy Spirit shows Peter. And so, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? And as Peter challenged his brother, he said, how is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but you lied to God. And it says, when Ananias heard these words, that is from Peter's mouth, he fell down and died. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And Sapphira, his wife, came in And the same thing happened to her. She fell at Peter's feet and died. And here's what the end of the passage says. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church, upon all who heard of these things. This fear, friends, is a great gift. It's called the fear of the Lord, the filial fear of the Lord. It's profound, deep respect for God and the things of God. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord not only worked signs and wonders in the community, he not only heard their prayers and let amazing things happen in the community, which gave them encouragement and hope, and they experienced his mercy and all that. That's all part of the life of the church. But also, the Lord's forming and training his church. And through Peter's leadership, you know, this chastisement led to the Lord made an example of them. Because they lied to God, they lied to the Holy Spirit, how serious it is, and both of them dropped dead. And what was the result? God is awesome. God is holy. God is mighty. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sin is real. Its consequences are real. Rebellion against God is real. The consequences of that. This is a gift that the Lord is giving him. The experience of the awesomeness of God fills us with a holy fear, a filial fear, that Isaiah the prophet said of the Messiah, who had spiritual gifts, was anointed with spiritual gifts, not only wisdom and understanding and gifts of that sort, but it said also fear of the Lord that he had, and his delight was in the fear of the Lord. Does the church today delight in the fear of the Lord, or do we live actually as slaves, enslaved to the fear of men? Are we living with, you know, in the minds of men? What do they think of me? What, you know, what's going to happen to me? They're, as if they're in control of your life, as if gaining their favor is where the action is and where your ultimate good is. It's like the last thing we don't want to do is go sideways with this person or these people or this situation because they hold our lot. No, they don't. Yeah, they could make life hard, but so what? Life is short. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You belong to the King. You have an eternal perspective. This little slight momentary affliction should give you the wisdom and the understanding. He said, it's madness for me to live in the fear of men and to do what they do to get along with them, to gain favor, to secure my treasure, and to put off eternity. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what's happening all over our culture today. These readings are so relevant to us. Maybe the Lord's going to let some people drop dead around us. I don't know. But I know for sure the fear of the Lord is coming in the land. The Lord is allowing the world to be shaken, the nations to be shaken, so that we let go of what's shakable, as Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, and cling to what is unshakable. God purifies and purifies his own people. And that's where the judgment begins in the house of God, and it's happening right now in our time. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.